Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara and streaming on the web for the world on kpfk.org. My name is Manuel Criollo, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann. So don't worry, the news has not replaced your favorite show, Voices from the Front Lines. It's just a new segment. And actually, next time, we're going to call Woodrow Coleman from the Bus Riders Union to tell us which line is jacked and messed up and to give us the traffic report out there on MTA buses. So today, we have an exciting show that will take you from the Vatican to Africa and back to Los Angeles. Our first guest, we have Jack Spiparchen of the Oda Benga Alliance for Peace in the Congo and a lecturer at UC Berkeley, discussing with us the state of the Democratic Republic of the Congo and his recently published book, Silence in African History Between the Syndromes of Discovery and Abolition. Following Jack's, we will have organizers with the Coalition for Educational Justice. We'll be joined by Noah Lippi-Klein, a teacher at Dorsey High School in South Los Angeles, and Yvette Sosa, a 12th grader at Dorsey, discussing their campaign to end high school exit exams at California high schools. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Eric Mann and his commentary on the recent death of Pope John II and the right-wing moves in the Schiavo case. So we'll be right back.
That's great. That's Susan Baca, and she's also on this Black Peru album besides many of her own. And hi, everybody. It's Monday, and it's 4 o'clock, so it's time for me to figure out what I have to say. Thoughts over the weekend on the Catholic Church, the death of the Pope, and the Schiavo case. To start with the Catholic Church, and these are both actually critiques of the left and a certain respect for, if not the right, conservative institutions and how they seem to survive and prosper. Let's start with the Catholic Church. The Pope was a complex figure, very active, as you know, as the first Polish Pope, very active, apparently worked with Ronald Reagan very closely on the defeat of communism in Poland. Work with the Solidarity Movement, which a lot of people originally were very encouraged by, or a workers' movement in Poland against a lot of the abuses of the Soviet system and the communist system, which later turned out to be a more corrupt and backward movement than people thought and did not lead to the liberation of Lech Walesa. In fact, ended up being a relatively discredited figure. But what I'm always struck by is when the Pope takes a reactionary stand, it's very taken very seriously by the United States. So if he moves against the Polish government, obviously the United States and Reagan move in real heavily. But the Pope, as I understand it, has taken tremendous stands, for instance, on the issue of the option of the poor, and has talked about massive poverty in the third world. And the United States just shrugs it off like, who the hell cares? The Pope has come out against the war in Iraq, but the United States doesn't care. So it's just very interesting the way that the United States government, when the Catholic Church takes a strong stand in a reactionary manner or an anti-communist manner or in a anti-abortion manner, the institution is taken very seriously. On the other hand, I wonder, does the Pope really fight very hard for the liberal positions? Because they fight very hard about making sure that there's no gay marriage, and they fight very hard to make sure there are no women priests, and they make very sure that there's no vacillation on a woman's right to abortion. But when they take these progressive positions, they seem to be like more like window dressing inside the Catholic Church. So it raises the question for left-wing Catholics, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing within trying to reform the Catholic Church, and when the Catholic Church takes a decent position on third world poverty or against the war, what do you do to actually try to get it enforced? So it's really a question that I don't understand. Also, I think it's really interesting, as someone who has been a communist, who's been very supportive of the communist movement and how, you know, genuinely sick I am over many of the, what I call the crimes and punishments of the communist movement and its many abuses, and literally to putting its own people in jail and eventually killing millions and millions of people in the Soviet Union. But then you wonder about an institution like the Catholic Church that's had such widespread admissions of an epidemic of child abuse in a country that supposedly cares so much about child abuse. But it has to be looked at, and I'm speaking, trying to understand the theology. If in fact the priest becomes your father, if in fact you confess to him about your sexual activity, which is supposedly a sin, behind a thin curtain where a man who's not supposed to have sex has to listen to everybody's sexual exploits every day, is not allowed to have any relationship except with God, what do you expect to happen? I mean, the widespread homosexuality, widespread, which is an okay thing, is what I'm saying, and then the widespread molestation of children, which is not an okay thing, the widespread having affairs with women, which is certainly also prevalent among a lot of the pastors in the Protestant church. So you wonder about how these institutions make it. That's my point. I mean, when the socialist world has all its problems, those lead to a tremendous decline and repression. When the Catholic Church has widespread scandals, except for small groups of the most directly affected who have been wonderful and courageous and tried to talk about the ruining of their lives when a father figure molests you and tells you what, it's a sin to tell anybody about it? But how few people are really taking that, not as a scandal, which is not the main point, but as a fundamental flaw in Catholic theology. And how can you have somebody over you as a priest with the vow of celibacy and yet have so many abuses of the actual congregation and not have more of a widespread challenge to the church doctrine itself? That's another question I'm raising, not just for Catholics, but for thinking people who are listening. And then we move on to the Chavo case. It's very sad to me. I mean, here is a woman who was, I believe, 15 years, clearly in a vegetative and brain-dead state, where her husband, who was generally very devoted to her, as I understand it, finally wanted to make the decision to remove the so-called feeding tube. And all of a sudden, an organized right-wing movement decides that this is a fight for life. Now, this is the same movement that's patriarchal to the max, that believes in the nuclear family, or claims to, believes in the father's domination, the husband's domination of the family. Well, here's a husband making a painful decision about his wife. Well, what would you do? I mean, what would you do if your wife was 15 years in that situation? Every family has to make very, very hard choices. My wife and I have had many discussions about, even with a so-called, I don't know what it's called, living will, or when you give the right to your partner to make those decisions, it would be a hell of a decision to make as to when to pull the plug. But imagine if, as you're about to do that, 250 right-wing members of Congress and the new alliance of the Catholic Church again and the Protestant fundamentalists decide that you're the sinner and march around because your parents are having a fight with you. So my lesson, I'm just struck by how the right is doing so well, how they took the issue of the Chavo case, which a lot of people say, well, it's backfiring because a lot of people feel bad about it. Well, not really. I mean, it continues to show the tremendous strength of the right. Bush is being told that people don't want privatization. He confidently and clearly goes back out to the people and says, no, you don't get it. You do want privatization. So at a time when the left, I keep saying, cannot generally organize its way out of a paper bag, we see the right's capacity. We see the Catholic Church's capacity to turn its own defeats into victories, to operate in such an effective manner. I just think it's a time for tremendous retrospection about why we on the left can't do much better. Those are my comments today, and I'm sticking by them. This is Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines.
And so what's going to happen, we'll be back with Jack Stepal Chen of the state and talking to us about the state of the Congo and Africa. So stay tuned.